Anthony DeComo of MLB.com does a great job covering the New York Mets, even though out of everything, this may be the hardest season to cover such a bad team. And I apologize for what you have to go out and do on a daily basis, but thank you for doing it.
I appreciate that, Pete. You know, they say actually the hardest seasons to cover are the ones where the team's like 81 and 81 and you just don't really know either way. When they're this bad, it's kind of easy. The narratives are very clear, especially this time of year, trade deadline.
Yeah, well, listen, let's get right to it. There's the latest news on Juan Soto, who got pulled in the sixth inning, calf soreness. If I got it right, there's going to be an MRI tomorrow. Give me exactly what they told you and how did this go down with Juan Soto?
Yeah, you got it exactly right. And to be clear, this is not the same calf that put Juan Soto on the IL for 2.5 weeks back in April, but it's the other calf, and it seems like it's definitely at least possible that it could put Juan Soto on the IL again. He's been dealing with this for over a week now. This is dating back to last weekend in Philadelphia coming out of the All-Star break. And at the time, the Mets termed it as very minor. I think there was truth in that, but it was nagging, and he sat out a game. Again, he comes out early today. The Mets have been cautious with him, using him at DH instead of left field. But clearly this thing isn't going away. And in what is very obviously becoming a lost season for the Mets, I do think you have to proceed with caution here. So we'll see what the MRI says. The Mets aren't going to make any decisions until tomorrow when they get those results back. But like I said, I think with your $765 million player, one of the very few bright spots on this roster this season, you sort of have to proceed the cautious route here.
Yeah, 100%. And funny, you know, he's having a great season, but he has missed a lot of time, and it seems like he's going to miss more time. Is it possible that the New York Mets, if they find out the news isn't great, that it is a lost season, they just shut him down the rest of the way?
No, I don't think you'd be looking at that with a calf injury. Again, I mean, we'll see how severe it is once we get those MRI results tomorrow. But, you know, a worst case for this kind of injury is probably like 4 to 6 weeks. And this definitely does not seem like a worst case. This seems like a relatively minor sort of nagging thing. So I do think they will rest him until he gets absolutely right, whether that's a matter of a couple of days, a short IL stint, a more extended IL stint, we'll see. But no, I would fully expect to see Soto again this season.
And this has nothing to do with the fact that Francisco Lindor is back and healthy and he's tired of playing baseball, right?
I can assure you that Juan Soto wants to be out there. Trust me, this dude wants to put up numbers.
Well, listen, I've heard that from so many other people like that have played with him, that he's a great teammate. And then I hear from other people that are, you know, coaches or behind the scenes people where it's like, oh, he's kind of to himself. He kind of is a loner type of thing at times. And he's maybe not the best teammate, but does it make a difference? I mean, you've been around this team for a long time. Do you need to have a guy that is buddy buddies and a vocal teammate? Can you survive as a Juan Soto and just be, not say for yourself and be selfish, but somebody that's just focused on being as good as you possibly can be?
Yeah, I think you're talking about two different things. I mean, Juan Soto's personality type is not that rah-rah guy. He is, I don't think it's fair to classify him as a loner, but he's definitely not the type of guy who's going to be go up and talking in front of the room and sort of leading in that way. But that doesn't make him any less committed. I do think he's quite committed to what's going on here, and I've seen him this year take on more of a leadership role. I think it started in spring training with Luis Robert really taking him under his wing, and then more recently with Carson Benjamin, AJ Ewing. Soto has done his best to try and guide that ship, knowing that he's going to be here for a long, long time. So just because he's not naturally inclined to be the life of the party, so to speak, doesn't mean that he's not, you know, that type of dude who's committed to the Mets and to winning. I mean, the best way I can describe the best way I can describe Juan Soto is that he is a guy who just really loves baseball. He really loves being out there. He's not interested in a lot of the other things that go along with being really, really good at baseball. He just wants to go out there, go up to the plate 4 or 5 times a night and rake. And that, to me, is all I need from a star player of a team. I don't necessarily need all the other stuff.
Yeah, and again, Anthony DiComo joining us of MLB.com, covers the Mets. And I agree, like, that's like a dream come true. I don't care about anything else. As long as the guy can play baseball and does it great, that's all we're looking for. Unfortunately, the winning is not happening, and we're at a point where David Stearns, who does his, you know, like every time there's a homestand, he does his press conference, had a, you know, spoke to the media again and answered questions from you guys, and basically said that, you know, a lot of people are going to be moved. Let me ask you a question. Because I listen to Brian Cashman and I listen to David Stearns. Is it better to hear from a GM every 2 weeks that says nothing, or a guy who talks like maybe once a year and says nothing? Which is better?
You know, as a beat writer covering the team, my preference is for the GM to be available whenever I want him to speak. So, you know, whether that's a set thing or not, like, you know, when the Mets make trades, I'm going to want to talk to the GM. When something goes particularly wrong or right with the club, I'm going to want to talk to the GM. So, you know, I do give David Stearns credit for being available. He certainly could have found a way to, you know, shirk that responsibility this week. He, you know, for multiple reasons. A, very busy, obviously, with trade deadline stuff. But B, you know, he knows the questions are not going to be the friendliest. When we're coming down the pipe here, going to the trade deadline, everyone knowing that there's going to be a sell-off, and he hasn't really spoken publicly since I think the Mets have been definitively out of it and definitively, you know, selling off everything that's not nailed to the floor. So, you know, it's, which is better? I don't know, but I will always appreciate the access as often as I can get it.
Well, let's dive into it here, because he did speak about certain players. Some people were asked about specifically, like a Francisco Lindor, and that's one of the players where he didn't really speak specifically on what his plan is. But again, open to, you know, trading everybody and kind of seeing where things are going. What is the likelihood of Francisco Lindor being traded at this deadline?
Low, but not impossible. And I think that was already evident. I think it was made more evident by David Stearns' comments today. Just talking to people around the league over the last week, you know, the Mets gave teams a list of players who were untouchable, and Francisco Lindor was not on that list. Now, everyone hears that and says, okay, wow, the Mets are trying to get rid of this guy. I don't think that's true either. I actually think that's David Stearns, you know, his way of being honest about the situation, which is Francisco Lindor is probably staying for a number of reasons, but if somebody blasts our door down with an incredible offer for this guy, I think we're going to consider it. Whereas if somebody did that for, say, Juan Soto, I don't think the Mets would be considering it at this point. You know, that's a guy they're definitively building around for the future. Lindor is in a different place in his career. He's clearly, you know, not having a great season, both for health reasons and performance reasons. He's going to be 33 next year, which is the next time the Mets have a chance to compete. And he's been showing some decline defensively. So I do think, yeah, if you get some sort of amazing offer for Lindor and can get out of the $170 million-ish that's left on his contract, that's about half of the initial value. And it's the bad half, right? Like, he just went through five of the best prime years of his career. Be pretty silly to expect Francisco Lindor to be better in the back 5 years of his contract than the front half. So, yeah, I think for all those reasons, you have to consider it. And I don't think it's anything more than that. I don't think it's David Stearns saying, wow, we can't win with Lindor and Juan Soto together because of this clubhouse stuff and this and that. I'm not denying that things existed there. I do think it's been smoothed over to a certain extent, but I think this is purely a baseball thing where, yeah, if the Mets, again, you get some sort of incredible deal for Lindor, they'd have to consider it. And now, do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't. I think those types of deals are super difficult to pull off this time of year. I think the way that Lindor has been playing is going to scare teams off as well, even if they were interested. I think there's only a handful of teams out there that could realistically take on what's left in this contract. So if a deal like this was going to happen, I think it's a lot easier to pull off when you have time to breathe in the offseason. You know, as we saw with the Nimmo Marcus Semien trade last offseason, a couple of big contracts changing hands. Like, it's just a lot easier to do during the offseason when budgets aren't set yet and there's, you know, fewer moving parts.
The offseason is going to be weird because of the potential lockout. Is that something, though, that's a possibility? Do you think Lindor would be moved or could be moved? What you said that it's less likely to be happening right now at the trade deadline, but is there a really good chance that maybe they do find a way to move him in the offseason? I mean, is that possible?
I don't think I could ever sit here and say there's a good chance that a team moves a $341 million player. Yeah. Like I said, there's $170 million left on that deal after this season. Like, it's hard to move. There's only so many teams that can take on that sort of contract. There's fewer still that can take on that sort of contract and need or want a shortstop. There's fewer still that can take on that sort of contract, want a shortstop, and won't be scared off by what some might perceive as the decline phase of Lindor's career. So, again, I'm not saying it's impossible. I do think there's a very plausible path in which the Mets ultimately trade Francisco Lindor. Whether it's now at the trade deadline, probably not. Whether it's next offseason, maybe a little more likely. Whether it's at some point before his contract expires, even more likely. But I'll never sit here and say, like, this is a sure thing, this is going to happen. I just think they're very difficult deals to do.
And here's the thing, Anthony, again, being joined by Anthony DiComo, MLB.com, I don't trust David Stearns anymore. I really don't. I gave him a lot of leeway. I loved when Steve Cohen got him here. I thought this was going to be an exciting new run that this team was going to go on, and we were going to be in the playoffs every year. And now I just feel like he is not in it for the long haul. At least that's what it shows. He wants all these young kids to come up, and he's going to try to find the prospects and the young kids. And it makes me even feel like in a few years when Juan Soto opts out of his contract, because we all know he's going to do it, that if David Stearns is still here, he may say, okay, go to free agency. Screw it.
Something like that is entirely possible. I can tell you right now, David Stearns isn't thinking 3 years down the road. He's
trying to save his job now. What are you talking about? He needs to do something to save his job now. Can't think.
Well,
years.
Sure. And I think everyone understands that two things. One, like, David Stearns is going to get a chance to fix this. Steve Cohen made that abundantly clear. Like, David Stearns, at the very least, has this offseason to try again. Now, if he swings and misses again, and we're in the same spot next July that we are right now, I think it'd be very difficult at that point for Steve Cohen or anyone to ignore what at that point would be a very bad track record for David Stearns. It would be essentially 3 years in a row of being a bad baseball team. If he turns it around, then all of a sudden he's been here for 4 years, and they've been good for two of them, bad for two of them. And it's a totally different conversation, a team potentially on the upswing with young pitching, young position players, whatever the Mets do this upcoming offseason. But, to answer your original question, like, I don't think David Stearns is sitting here scheming about letting Juan Soto walk 3 years from now. I think that is a bridge that no one around the Mets is going to even begin to cross until we get much closer to it.
Listen, I think about that because it makes me feel like the way that he handles the pitching, the way that he's been handling, you know, he doesn't want to touch Tarik Skubal because you can't give him a long-term contract. I don't know the direction of this team. I thought I did, and now I don't, and I'm concerned. But what doesn't concern me is that they are going to trade people. They have to. And I've been on record, trade everybody. I don't even care. Obviously, there's certain, like, I like Ewing. I like Bench. They're the young kids. I want to see them around here. I don't want to see them traded. But there's a name that is starting to float around a little bit more, and teams like the Yankees and teams like the Boston Red Sox need a catcher. Francisco Alvarez, he's still young. He shows again. He still has pop. Is he potentially, or does he have a good opportunity to be moved at this deadline?
I think I would say a fair opportunity. I think it's very similar to the Lindor piece, except for the fact that someone like Alvarez is a lot easier to trade because he's not making even close to as much money. I think the Mets see Francisco Alvarez and Luis Torrens both, who they extended earlier this year, as pretty key contributors to what they hope will be a winning Mets team in 2027. I want to make that clear. Like, they have said time and again, David Stearns, Steve Cohen, everybody in Mets leadership has said they're going to attempt to put a winning team on the field in 2027. You might scoff at that. You might not trust them. I think it's totally valid for any fan out there to not trust them, but that's what their intent is. So when it comes to someone like Francisco Alvarez, that's a pretty key piece to a winning team. It's hard to find a catcher like that, and you can quibble with, you know, the fact that he has not become the best catcher in baseball like everyone envisioned when he was a prospect, but a guy who can pop 20 to 25 homers and play passable defense behind the plate, like, not every team has that. So the Mets aren't just going to give that away. I think, again, similar to Lindor, if someone blows their doors down with a great offer for Alvarez, yeah, they're going to have to consider it. But it also has to be an offer that conceivably makes them better in 2027, whether that brings back major league ready pitching or prospects who are right there on the cusp or even another catcher, you know, whatever it might be. They're not going to just sell off Francisco Alvarez for a bunch of A-ball pitchers. Like, it has to be something that makes sense within the context of they want to win next year.
Let's go through a little rapid fire here because I don't want to take up a lot of your time. I know you had a long day at the park again in Queens, which is crazy. The bullpen between Devin Williams, between Luke Weaver, AJ Minter, Brooks Raley. I mean, they have actually good bullpen arms, which is the crazy part. Oscar Brazaban. Let's talk about those. Who is most likely to be gone at the trade deadline?
All of them. And that's one where, I mean, I've been kind of, you know, dampening my responses to you on all these guys, Lindor, Alvarez, whoever you're throwing at me. But the bullpen, I mean, it's a bunch of guys either on expiring contracts like Minter, Raley, or guys like Luke Weaver's got 1 year left at pretty reasonable money for how good he's been. Brazaban has got another year after this one. He's been good for the Mets in a variety of roles. And I do know the way that David Stearns looks at bullpens, like, he sees these guys as replaceable. So, yeah, I think, you know, barring a total lack of interest, which I don't foresee, you know, every contender could use bullpen help. I think Raley's definitely gone. Minter's definitely gone. I'd be somewhat surprised if Weaver is still here on August 4th. Brazaban could go. So, yeah, basically, bullpen-wise, any decent offer the Mets get, I think a good chunk of these guys are not going to be here in August.
By the way, I saw that the Mets only have one top 100 prospect, if I'm correct. Didn't they trade away like 12 prospects to get back four bullpen arms last year? Nothing worked out. Like, I mean, did that happen?
Yeah, and that's the dirty little secret that no one wants to talk about or no one is talking about, you know, with this Mets team. Like, the reason why there's not a lot of hope, not just for this year, but that David Stearns can build a winner going into 2027 is because the farm system hasn't given them that much. I mean, Nolan McClain's been pretty good. Carson Benn, J.J. Ewing, like, that's great. Those are two good pieces for the future. And Zach Thornton's come up recently and been, you know, decent. But outside of those four, there's almost everyone else in the farm system has taken a step back this year. So there's very little you can look at down there and say this is going to be useful for the Mets in 2027. I think the next 10 days and what they acquire at the trade deadline is going to go a very long way toward determining if the Mets can compete in 2027, because as they've demonstrated, you can't just do it through free agency or even through trades. Like, you have to be pumping talent through the farm system, and they've done some, but it hasn't been nearly enough. They're going to need more, and the only way to do it at this point is to get some of these guys in trades, and ideally, from the Mets' perspective, guys who are ready or just about ready and who can help the Mets win baseball games in 2027.
If Kodai Senga doesn't get traded at the deadline, are we going to see a DFA, or are they going to move on from him before the season ends?
Probably not, because at this point you look at a guy like that and, you know, what's the point of DFAing him? You're out of contention. You hope you get some lightning in a bottle for 2 months, which he has shown before. And if you can do that, maybe you can move on from him in the offseason or you know, trade him or DFA him at that time. But I actually think there's very little point to DFAing Kodai Senga for an out-of-contention team. You know, you're not going to trade him right now. There's no value there.
Yeah, and you have no prospects to play. You can't bring Jonah Tong up and pitch him because he's not pitching well either. I mean, it's so bad. Real quickly, because I'm taking up so much of your time, but real quick. All right, so between Luis Robert Jr., Freddy Peralta, Marcus Semien, and Bo Bichette, those four guys that they brought in this offseason, are they all traded? Are they going to be here after the trade deadline? What your quick thoughts on that?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think you kind of have to trade Peralta. Simeon's got no trade value. He's got to stay. Bo Bichette is one of the most interesting cases to me. I don't think he's getting traded, but like, does he opt out this winter? Do the Mets want him to opt out? Do they want him back? I truly have no idea which way that's going to go. And who's the fourth guy that I'm missing?
Who was it? Who did I say? Oh, Luis,
Robert. Luis Robert.
I mean,
he hit a nice bomb. He's getting traded for sure.
Yeah, well, listen, you say for sure. I talked to Evan Roberts on the Rico about this, and I wanted to strangle myself. He's like, well, you could take – actually, it was Keith Rad who said it. Keith Rad said you could potentially decline his option and then try to work out a deal in the offseason. And same thing with Freddie Peralta. Give him the qualifying offer, have him, you know, accept it, and then, you know, have him around for another year. Like, I don't want any of these guys around. Like, no offense, I want them gone. That would be my worst nightmare, is for the same guys they brought in that have failed to be back next year.
Yeah, and I can tell you that the way David Stearns thinks is that he knows that this hasn't worked. So he's not looking to run it back either, just like he wasn't looking to run back the Pete Alonso, Brandon Nimmo, Jeff McNeil Mets. I'd be pretty surprised if those guys, with the exception really of Simeon, who I said is pretty untradeable at this point, I'd be surprised if most of those guys are back next year.
And final question for you. Anthony DeComo has been the man. Check him out, MLB.com, as always. Did you run into Emma Stoner at all? Did you see her? Did you meet her?
From a distance. And I wish it had been closer. That's all I can say.
Yeah, no, she's the best. But you're even better. Anthony DeComo, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. Best of luck the rest of this year. And have fun at the trade deadline. There'll be a lot of action, that's for sure.
All right. Thanks, Pete.
All right. See you later. Anthony DeComo, MLB.com, again, covers the New York Mets. That's a rough job to do.